Good morning. If you can open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 8 through 13. And all of our worship songs reflected this, so we're done. Now, I titled this Love Never Fails. And obviously, we're singing a lot of worship songs about love. You know, the wife and I have been going to this, Love and Respect class. It's not a marriage counseling, but a marriage class. So you can grow deeper in your relationship. And last night's service was about women respecting their husbands and telling them, hey, I respect you. And husbands will, reply to that. And, and obviously husbands are to love their wives. So at the end of the class, we're heading home, and my wife goes, man, I want a watermelon. So I'm thinking to myself, I love her. I got a tenner in my pocket. I can get a watermelon for her. So I pull in the Giant, and she said, what are you doing? I said, honey, I love you. I'm going to get you a watermelon. You want one, don't you? Not now. So we've learned we got to communicate a little better. I said, well, do you want a watermelon? Yeah, go get me one. So I go get the watermelon. And I'm in there at the store. I'm pricing it. It's $9.96 for the watermelon, but you get $3 off because I got the card. But if I buy $25 worth of food, I get another $3 off. I didn't have that. I only had the tenner, so I ended up just getting the watermelon. Go get in line. And I get behind this young lady, beautiful young lady. And her stuff's all being rung up. And they ring up these silver little tin pans. And she goes, that's a buy one, get one free. And the guy, after he rung it up, looks, oh, you got two of them there? Oh, so he rings up the other one. And she said, no, it's a buy one, get one free. It's not showing up. So I'm going, okay, patience, long suffering, kindness. All of this to show my love for my wife and get her a watermelon. So she runs, gets another, goes there to see, oh, it is, it's buy two, get one free. So she brings another one back, pays, and goes. So I get the watermelon, and I'm going out to the truck. And she winds down the window. Now, she'll tell you a little different version. But she winds down the window, and this is what I heard as a man, which you know is truth, as men. I respect you. And I'm like, no, you don't. You're just saying that because of the class. You're not. The way it sounded to me was like, oh, you're a knucklehead, type of a thing. So I get in the truck and I go, you don't respect me. You're just saying that. I did this out of a love for you. Oh, you did not. So we laughed at each other. And I'm learning that that'll get you through a lot, just laughing at each other. And maybe that's what love's all about, being able to laugh at each other. And that, I'm just enjoying the class. And I'm enjoying trying to practice what I'm learning. It is funny sometimes when you're doing all that. So anyways, I just want you to know your pastor is practicing what he is learning. Trying to, at least. So it's just one of those things. I was watching on YouTube how pearls were formed in an oyster. And I learned that it really is not sand that is the irritant, but a parasite. Or it has to be like a particle of organic matter. Something that this stuff can form around. But it's a hurtful particle, intrudes into the shell. And this vexes and grieves the oyster. It's irritating. And it can't eject the irritant. The irritant's there. So what it does instead is slowly secretes layers of aragonite and conchilion. And these materials are the same that make up its shell. It's giving of itself to cover this irritant. And it creates a material called nacre, also known as mother of pearl. So what it does, it covers it with that precious substance extracted out of its own life, by which it turns the intruder into a pearl. And you think about that. If we could handle the provocations, the irritations that we receive from our fellow Christians and ladies in the line at the store, so that pearls of patience, gentleness, long-suffering, and forgiveness are manifested within us, how beautiful would that be? Possibly why we are to rejoice in trials and tribulations. In James chapter 1, verse 2, he says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience." Now, there's another thought that I had with this, too. That the giving of ourselves over time to this irritant, whatever is bothering you, that possibly that irritant may become a pearl for Christ. If they see Christ in you and you're constantly giving of yourself, that may sway them. Just a thought. Paul has now shared with us what love is and is not. Love being an action word, we know this. We should be constantly acting out our love. While we can feel emotional about it, as in marriage, you know, you feel emotional about love once in a while, but then sometimes it's like, well, you really don't respect me. Come on. I get this. And you don't feel that love. But it's more than that. It's how we act. When we do not feel the emotion, we still act in love. We saw love suffers long. Paul suffered his entire Christian life, but yet still loved people enough to share the gospel with them. He also took the time to correct and encourage the churches, as we see he's doing with 1 Corinthians here. Love is kind, continually looking out and caring for others. Love does not envy. It does not wish to hurt someone over what they have. Love does not parade itself. In other words, it does not show off. It's not puffed up. And that's that internal pride in our heart when we get puffed up about it. And love does not behave rudely. Love does not seek its own. It's not selfish. Love is not provoked. It does not seek payback. Love thinks no evil. It doesn't keep that list that we talk about. It doesn't remember all the wrongs. It forgives. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And now Paul is going to let us know that love never fails. It lasts forever. And you think about it, it is a characteristic of God. Let's read through these verses. Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us to come together to go over your word, Father, but most of all, just to worship you, Father. What a beautiful thing that is to be able to do, and we thank you for allowing us to do that. And Lord, I ask you to open our hearts. Help us to understand your love for us, Father, even more. But Father, most of all, help us to take what we learn and apply it in our lives. To take that step back in love and think before we do the things that we do. Father, we love you. We thank you for this time together. And I do ask, Father, that your Spirit would fill us today. And we would all, Father, work to glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Where there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. Love never fails. And you know, how is that? I have had many a times where I have felt I do not love someone. There have been many times I've wished to actually hurt somebody or to avoid that person because I did not feel any love for them. That good Samaritan, boy, I would have probably walked on the other side of the road a lot of times in my life just to pass by because I didn't love them. I will admit, though, that for the most part, I was like that prior to knowing Christ. I believed in Jesus Christ at a young age, but I did not know Jesus Christ. And there's a huge difference. The true changes in my life came when I began to know Him. But guess what? I still truly had people that I did not love or even wish good for them. And I still run across this today. So when I look to God or look at God who created the heavens, the earth, the footstool, along with everything in them, seen and unseen, and this included us, men and women formed in His image, whom He gave dominion over all things. It says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the heavens, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over all the creepers creeping on the earth. Do you give somebody that kind of authority if you don't care about them and love them? God loves us. God chose the Jewish people because He loves them, and He wanted to keep His oath to them, to Abraham, Isaac. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6, it says, for you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for Himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. The Lord did not set His love on you nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the least of all peoples. But because the Lord loves you, and because He would keep the oath which He swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from those of house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. They were to be a light to the world. I like to say that they're that bug zapper in the backyard when you turn it on at night and it lights up and all the mosquitoes fly into it and go zap. Because they're showing God's love. And if you come to God, you come to God through Jesus Christ, you're going to get zapped eternally. That's the way I look at it. He chastises those He loves. And we saw that over and over with Israel. We know that God sent His only Son. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. So we see a godly love. His Son sent for us, a sacrifice for us. Not only that, but the Son willingly died on the cross out of a love for us. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, Paul wrote, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. John brought this out in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 9. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. You know, we see the Holy Spirit in this. And I've read this before, Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. So we can see God, the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, loves His creation enough to reach out to us and bring us back into a relationship with Him if we're willing. So this love Paul is talking about, I believe, is the love that is an attribute or a characteristic of God. God the Creator will never fail. Can't fail. He is holy. Thus, his love will never fail. It is eternal, just as God is eternal. This love, a sacrificial love, has been poured into us. Thus, for a believer, a true believer, while we may not feel this love, the godly love that it is, that is in us, will not fail. A true believer. Think about it. We will have eternity worshiping and serving our God. Do you love him? Will that love for him ever fail? I think not, if you're up there serving him. Paul goes on that all this other stuff is going to go away. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Now, prophecy can be predicting the future or proclaiming forth God's word to somebody who needs to hear a specific thing. So false prophets are those who fail in predicting the future. And we've seen that. I'll read you one. An original prophecy by Joseph Smith, The Doctrine and Covenant, section 84, 1 through 5, on September 18, 32. A revelation of Jesus Christ unto his servant Joseph Smith, June, and six elders, as they united their hearts and lifted their voices on high. Yea, the word of the Lord concerning his church established in the last days for restoration of his people, as he has spoken by the mouth of the prophets, and for the gathering of his saints to stand up upon Mount Zion, which shall be the city of New Jerusalem, which city shall be built beginning at the temple lot, which is appointed by the finger of the Lord in the western boundaries of the state of Missouri. And dedicated by the hand of Joseph Smith and others whom the Lord was well pleased. Verily, this is the word of the Lord, and that the city, New Jerusalem, shall be built by the gathering of the saints, beginning at this place, even the place of the temple, which temple